And we have another exciting expert interview for you today. This is with Lyle Coca, who is a chiropractor, but at heart, he's really an entrepreneur. This is an amazing guy who's got an incredible entrepreneur mindset that has just catapulted him to the top of his industry. Lyle, welcome to the call.
Well, I'm honored to be here.
Well, I'm honored that you're on the call, and I'd like to just dig right in and start off with telling us something about your background and how you went from being a chiropractor to really being an entrepreneur.
Well, you know, I don't want to go clear back. My fascination was with chiropractic when I was 15 years old. And, you know, unfortunately, it was one of those deals. I was in a small town, hurt myself, crawled across the street to be a chiropractor, or to go to the chiropractor, and got my first adjustment. I fell in love with the profession. And I remember calling Palmer College of Chiropractic when I was in high school, and they said, what do I got to do to be a chiropractor? And they said, fill out an application. So I'm like 15, 16 years old, and I filled out an application, sent it into chiropractic school, and they said, we have to graduate high school first. I was like, all right. So did that, filled out another application. They go, well, now you have to graduate undergrad first. I was like, oh, these hurdles. And so through the process of going through high school, obviously graduating college, went to chiropractic school. But when I was in Palmer College of Chiropractic, I wasn't married yet, but my fiance, which is now my wife of almost 29 years, was suffering. She couldn't stop throwing up. And so we took her to a local chiropractor because I was at the college, but the student I had in the clinic said, we need to take you to go see this guy, which happened to be Dr. Larry Troxell, and which we always call, he went by T. And he explained to me what he was going to do to Sean, and he did it. And JP, it was amazing. And I remember laying in bed that night watching what he did, and I remember telling my fiance, I was like, I want to be great. I don't want to be just a chiropractor. I want to be known as one of those great chiropractors. And so I went from wanting to be just a chiropractor, and I used that minimizing word intentionally, to I wanted to be great. I wanted to be, you know, as I tell people, I didn't want to be accepted. I wanted to be significant in people's lives.
And yeah, even so you were first really motivated by your curiosity and this experience you had at 15 and went, wow, this made a big difference and I feel different probably.
Oh, way different. I mean, I literally crawled across the street, couldn't walk.
Right.
And I had that.
And I've actually been there, Lyle, and you never forget some dates. November 21st, 1991, I happened to have owned both a Mercedes and a Porsche, and I was ever so glad I wasn't in the Porsche. In fact, I sold it 6 months later and have never had a sports car again because I was in my Mercedes sitting still. A car crashed into me, destroys the Mercedes with me in it. That's why I haven't had the Porsche again, right? Because I went, there are things worse than dying if I'd been in the Porsche. And I went through 3 years of having two herniated discs and getting constant adjustments. And that made a tremendous amount of difference because the pain the first 3 months were horrible.
It was. It just totally fascinated me.
Yeah. And so you were fascinated by that. But then all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute, you start getting this vision for your life. So tell us more about the vision, because that's really kind of at the heart of a mindset, is you're beginning to get a mindset that I want something more.
Well, you know, I didn't know what I was, you know, I wasn't conscious because I was still in school, in undergrad, in chiropractic school. So I really wasn't conscious of the direction I was going like I am now. Now I look back and go, well, that's what I was doing. I was laying the foundational principles, because you have to have that of, to be great, which I'll get into. But I just, the first thing I did, the first mindset was, is I just decided I wanted to be great. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be significant in people's lives, that they would go, that dude touched us in some way, shape, or form. And so the first step that I did, JV, is I made that decision. And it wasn't just to like, yeah, this is, I'm going to walk across the street. It's so I started to study all of the great, because I figured I was a chiropractor, that's what I had to do. So I started studying all of the great chiropractors and what they did, and the key word, who they were. because it's the B of who you are on the inside that determines how well what you do. And
so
I looked
it wasn't just the techniques you got very early on, that it was a way that they were showing up, how their mindset of how they saw themselves and how they saw themselves in the world.
How they saw themselves, that they had such pride and certainty in who they were. And you can apply that to anything. You know, we've applied that with our daughter, who's now 21, with Blake, is with her level of certainty. So what the principles, JB, they had is they were so certain in who they were. And they had this aura of confidence to them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So they were connected to their core of who they were.
And they had, and it was an unshakable
foundation. And that affected
foundation.
How they believed about themselves and how they had a mindset of who they were as a person.
Yeah, and they were, and they're, and it was, like I said, what's so interesting about it, they were
so
the
first
certain.
Thing was certain. You said that there was another word you were using. Well, I just want to get this out so everybody hears it.
Well, I love the word significant.
Significant.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, and I use that word in everything we do. Do you just want to get by, or do you want to be significant? And I always tell everybody is I want to be that person. Like when I see somebody, they go, that guy made a difference in me. And you know, I don't ever want people to forget me, and not from the point that we helped them with their physical ailment, but you know, kind of a sad story, JB. But 2 years ago, I was asked to speak at one of my patients' funerals and give the eulogy for him. And it was literally one of the hardest but the most honorable things that I've ever asked to do, because I was significant to that family. And so I think that's something that anybody on the millionaire mindset should have, is that they want to be so impactful in people's lives that, you know, it's, you know, the saying, you know, we come into this world crying with those around us rejoicing. We should leave this world rejoicing with those around us crying. And I've always been, one of my mottos is I want to leave this world that people cry that I'm gone, only because of the joy and the passion that I brought to their lives.
And that's about significance, and it's also about connection, isn't it?
Well, and that's, you know, that's the relationships is my, you know, my number one value is integrity. My number two value is relationships, you know, where you and I met. And can I, you know, it was ironic. Can I share the story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was at, you know, Gary Ryan Blair's event, who's one of my closest friends. And literally the week before, I'd gotten your book off Amazon. And I literally, for those who listen, not making this up, as I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting with one of my friends who I went there with, and I was like, I think I just bought his book. And then you got up and started talking about it. And I walked over, and I was like, I just bought your book off Amazon. And it was just, there is no chance in the world. There's a reason that all of us got brought into the same room.
Right. And Gary's actually been on my expert cause, and Gary's my number one mentor. And Gary's just a great person. He lives 45 minutes from me. So, yeah, there was a lot of unique combinations that came together and relationships that were built in that room of really 36 people. I counted.
It was truly, and I mean, it was awesome. And so it is to be that, you know, like that. That was a moment of significance to me. It's like, oh my God, I just read this book. He's here in this room, and you know, I got to pick your brain a little bit.
Well, and the same thing went on for me, because I'm listening to what you're going to talk about is how you made yourself the number one chiropractor in your area because you wanted to have a level of significance. And I'm going, this is a guy I want to interview for my expert calls, because I could see that this was all about your mindset and how you were looking at things differently than all the other chiropractors, or they would be number one as well.
You know, the first thing that we did, and I goes back to when I was in chiropractic school, is that I wanted to be excellent, and I wanted to be so excellent in what I did that, you know, one of the first things I did is I really worked on my clinical skills, which is, you know, obviously I had to do because I was the technical side of me. But we talked about relationships earlier. I had to work on my communication skills to communicate what I wanted to do to people and what I needed them to do, and then to be very authentic in who I was, that it was legitimately that I was deeply passionate that they experienced the full potential that their life was offered. And so I started with that foundation, and then it was just like, I want to be the most excellent, best chiropractor, not my community, but I wanted to be known globally as that guy that made such an impact in people's lives. And it's still to this day, after 26 years in practice, that it's still a driving factor that I still work on every little thing I can do to be the best at what I do. And, example is, JV's, I worked all day yesterday for about 14 hours, came home, ate dinner, spent some time with my wife, and then she wasn't feeling well. She went to bed, and I sat up for another 3 hours just reading and studying great leaders in the world and how they communicate and who they are, because I still strive to be the best.
Wow. So this mindset, let's go back and pick up your story, because now we're picking up that how this is manifested in who you are is that you're constantly looking to bring yourself to greater levels of significance, and you're doing it by, in part, modeling and learning from others and how did they do it and how do they think, right?
That's really correct, because, from people that are obscure, that people don't know anything about, everybody studies Mother Teresa, I've studied her, there's Osceola McCarthy was a woman in the South, I studied Irina Sandler, and so I study a variety of different people that, and it goes back to my word, which is significant. I mean, that is the word that defines who I am. So I studied, and I still do, study people that were significant, and then I see what they did and how they had to become that person.
Right. So you're looking for the process in part. What's the process?
Well, it's the process that goes further back to their identity of who they were. And then what I do is I study what those characteristics of those people were. And then I study the process of how they live those characteristics. And then can I take that, or that does that resonate with me, and I'm going to put that into my life and put that process into what I'm doing, because I want to go down that journey and that road too, because I still do want to be the best in my community. I want to be the best for my profession. It's the famous Roger Bannister mile is, we like to do things in our office that no other chiropractic clinic does. My theory for doing that is that if we do that, then that means somebody else can go, well, if Kocha can do that, then we can do that. And that's
exactly what
Roger Bannister did when he broke the 4-minute mile. Now it's like a routine thing. High school kids are doing it. Way back when, that was the elite of the elite. Well, it's because he raised
and
the bar.
And I want to bring that out, since we're talking about mindset, that the reason they can do that is that the mindset is, this is ordinary.
And that's a great thing. What
is
ordinary?
Mindset was, this is impossible.
Yeah, it's to change that. Another saying I do with my staff in my office is our goal to take the impossible to possible. The wow to how, and that's what we want to do. The word impossible, actually, if you look at it, impossible, if you break it down, the two first letters, I'm possible. So impossible doesn't exist. Matter of fact, in our office, we have the I'M possible, which means impossible just means I'm possible.
So let's pick up your story where you became a chiropractor. Because you had already decided that in chiropractic school that you wanted to live this life of greater significance, that was core to your identity of who you wanted to be in the world and how you wanted to be to yourself. So then you start your chiropractic practice. Take us through some of the steps that led you in a practical way from starting a practice to becoming number one in your community, and how that related to your mindset, the decisions you were making along the way, because that would, I think, be very useful in a practical way of how you did that.
One of the things that we did is I was really clear on, and it was probably harsh, and it still is just a little bit, is I chose not to associate myself with anybody that had negative thinking or didn't resonate positivity with me. And that was hard because when I came to Omaha almost 27 years ago, it was a small community of chiropractors. There were 45 of us.
Wow.
And I would go to the events as a young doc and want to learn from the older docs because those were my peers. And I found that they were really negative and didn't have the positive outlook. So I had to disassociate myself from anybody. I think Zig always talked about it, stinking thinking. And so the first thing I did is I disassociated myself with anybody that thought negatively. And then
excellent. So that was the first step.
That was step number one. And then step number two, whenever I thought something negative, I literally kept a little notebook, and I still do this. I have a little notebook in my office, my adjusting room with me, that I keep on my desk. Whenever I think or say something negative, I catch myself and write down what a positive thing would be, just the opposite of that. You know, so if I think black, I write down white. Not like that, but I can't do that. I would instantly change it to the, I can do that, and this is how I'm going to do it. And so I essentially retrained my brain to think the opposite of what most people did. And then I was a nutso reader. You know, I would just, anything I could get my hands on, JVs, I read and I studied and I read. And it all comes down to anything that was the left side of positivity I avoided. And I went to the right side of it, and that's all I did. It was just engulfed myself in anything that was good and virtuous in the world.
Excellent. So how did that impact the growth that you saw in your chiropractic practice? The evolution that went from a startup to being the number one in your community.
What's really interesting about that is I speak with other chiropractors because I consult now along with my full-time practice, and how they talk of the struggles and that they had in their practice. And I was like, I can't relate to that because I really didn't have that. Now, we probably did, but I just didn't buy into it because I chose to only look at what was right and virtuous. So it allowed us to progressively grow our business slowly. Because I always get nervous when I speak with somebody, they go, oh, my, we grew to the top right away. And it's like, ew, did the paint dry on the building, you know? And so we let the concrete dry, so to speak, the foundation. We slowly grew, and we slowly grew. And we just slowly kept building our success principles that it allowed us to get to be the best in our area. And, you know, we're striving to be one of the best chiropractors globally to build that foundation of success that was unshakable when something would come along.
I think that's so so critical what you're talking about, Lyle, because I'm a business coach. I work with clients, and what I find the number one problem actually in terms of the process someone uses is I use a simple formula: conscious, focused action. And conscious is really getting conscious of what needs to be done, the steps that need to be taken, where you really want to head, and think of it also as getting all those foundation things in place. You've got to have a plan. You've got to know where your facility is. You've got to learn how to do all the different pieces first before you can even think of being number one, even though that might be your goal from the beginning, because that's going to influence how you do things. But that the foundation has to be in, and the stronger the foundation, I think the great metaphor works, the larger and the better the building that you can build. And so that's what you're saying, is that you run into the same thing, is that people want to jump to just being at the top, but they haven't put any foundation.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the tallest buildings. The tallest buildings have the deepest, strongest foundation. Well, and like, you know, the tallest trees have deep roots.
Right.
And so you really have to build that, and it comes back to where this conversation first started. Who are you? You know, I ironically identified with me, it started off at seven characteristics that who I was, not even realizing I did this when I was in high school. I think I had 10. And I've broken it down to four things that define who I am.
Tell us what those are, if you want.
Number one is integrity. And I'll kind of break them down a little bit, but integrity is my number one core value. And what I do is that I identified characteristics of somebody with integrity. And And those are the characteristics that I choose to live, and those are also the characteristics that I only associate myself around people that have those, that associate with those values. I'll reciprocate with that those individuals. Number two is relationships. Relationships are very, very important to me, not only socially with people, but my relationship with my wife and my daughter are the number one thing with me. As I say this all the time, I have two loves in the world, my wife and my daughter, and they're tied. And so that's really important to me. Number three is excellence. I only want to deliver something that is excellent, and I only associate with something that is excellent. And commitment. So my four values that describe me, number one, integrity, number two, relationships, number three, excellence, and number four, commitment.
And tell me, I love those values. My top values are around integrity and growth, because I so deeply value personal growth. It's one of the things I inspire in myself and I inspire in others. It's core to Conscious Millionaires that you're growing, becoming more conscious, that you're reaching higher and higher levels of who you are. But integrity is really critical. In fact, I'll share that for me, if I don't have integrity with somebody, I don't want to do business with them. I don't care what the opportunity is, it's the wrong opportunity, because I don't want to do business with them as a strategic partner, as a client, anything. So I would be interested if you could share how each of these core values that you have in terms of your concept, of who you are, how they show up in your business practices and how you grow your business.
You know, that's, and I can do that, like, which is unusual for me, in just a matter of seconds, because I tend to talk. Integrity, when somebody comes into my office and starts care, I let them know. And it's an aura that comes with this, but it's everything we say and do in our office, that I'm going to give them the best recommendations for them and their family, and as a result, they're going to get the best from me, because that's very important to me, and I tell them that at the very beginning. You know, when we start a process with somebody and they present with a challenge, that it's very important that you know, as my patient, that I'm going to tell you 100% of everything that I know about you. Now, I ask of you to do the same thing. If I recommend that you do XYZ,